Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the epistle reading just read from the lectern, 1 Corinthians 5, beginning at the 9th verse. Beloved in Christ Jesus, the only Savior of the world, it's been said that appearances can be quite deceiving. Held true in a number of areas. I know one time I was up in Upper Michigan and went camping, and we decided to take a hike through the woods. As we walked along the path, we came to a certain point where the path diverged. There was a fork in the road. The one path looked very rugged, and indeed it was. There were rocks, there were branches, there were brushes growing around the path. It's a very difficult path to maneuver. Yet, if you took that path, you eventually came to scenes of the grandeur of God's creation. On the other hand, there was another path. And this one, from the fork in the road, looked very smooth, very easy. The problem with that path was that after it went up a hill and reached the crest of that hill, there was a sudden drop in altitude because you had walked straight into an old mining pit. Now, at the fork of that road, by that very smooth and easy-looking path, there was a sign. And the sign said, warning, danger ahead. And the hiker had to make a decision. Do I listen to the sign and take what appears to be the easy road? Or do I take the difficult road? A text like the one that was just read is a very difficult text for us to deal with. We just as soon would prefer not to deal with these issues. We might say to Paul, I wish you had not written that, because it deals with discipline within the church. In many ways, this text stands as a warning sign, posted by what appears to be an easy road to take, but a road which ultimately is fraught with danger, and in fact, with destruction of the church itself. What Paul says seems to be harsh and dangerous. And yet the apostle has said what he has said. And we must hear his word and try to understand it. We are faced often with a decision in the life of the church. Do we take what appears to us to be the easy road? Or do we choose the difficult path of love? To make that decision, we have to have some distinctions in mind. For one thing, we have to be able to discern what right and wrong is. We live in an age where the very concept of moral absolutes is not only questioned by society, but it's questioned within the church herself. Very few people are willing anymore to deal with this concept of right and wrong. The Corinthians faced that precise problem in their congregation. And time again in his correspondence to the Corinthians, St. Paul has to address those issues as they have arisen within that congregation. No matter what kind of an answer we or others might come up with concerning the existence of moral absolutes, of right and wrong, one thing is certain. Our God believes in right and wrong. Our God takes sin very seriously. He takes it so seriously that he himself has declared that the soul which sins shall surely die. He has taken it so seriously that he took human flesh upon himself in order to redeem a lost world, to give to a world lost in sin the eternal life of Jesus Christ. Our text this morning stands, as if you would, as a warning sign. As the church faces a point of decision, do we take what appears to be the easy way, ignore the warning sign and fall off the cliff, or do we take that rugged path that looks so difficult? In addition to discerning right and wrong, Paul also calls us to discern the difference between the church and the world. He makes a point of this and says that he didn't write to them earlier to tell them not to have anything to do with people in the world. He He says, because then you'd have to go out of the world. And that would take away the church's basic mission, which is to proclaim Christ as the Savior of the world to a lost and dying world. Rather, Paul says, what I wrote to you applies among yourselves. You don't sit in present judgment, Paul says, on the world. That day will come at the last day. The present judgment of the world is in God's hands. Abraham had to learn that in our Old Testament reading, when he begged God concerning Sodom, and finally had to leave Sodom's judgment in God's hands. But what is true of the world is not true of the church. Within the church, we do, in fact, exercise and are competent to exercise judgment. And that makes us terribly uncomfortable. Because what is at stake here is something we don't often speak of. A fundamental concept of the church as the body of Christ in terms of relationship to one another. Oh, we talk about baptism as uniting us with Christ in his death and resurrection, and it is that. And we must never forget that, but yet we must also remember that baptism unites us into one body, that there is a total dependence on one another, which is there because we have been baptized by one baptism into that one body. And just as with a natural body, if one part of the body is sick, the other parts hurt. If there is a festering illness in one area, all the rest of the body feels it. If we understand this and give it more than lip service, we begin to understand that what happens with one member of the body of Christ affects not only that one person, but everyone else who has been incorporated into the body of Christ by that one baptism. And so Paul flashes this warning sign, and he says, you're taking the easy path. Look instead and see the path God has chosen, the path of love. Oh, it's a path that calls for great self-sacrifice. Make no mistake about it. Our biggest problem with a text like this is not the text itself. It's with our sense of self-preservation. We don't want to risk anything for anyone else. We have this selfish desire to find the easy solution to situations in the church rather than to find the difficult yet correct solution. In dealing with an erring brother, we would much rather ignore the problem under the guise of tolerance or love. Yet God calls us to forgo all self-interest and to pursue the good of the brother. In a Corinthian-style church, and brother, that's pretty much what we have today, evil is not only tolerated by our silence, evil is blessed. After all, silence will rock no boat. Silence places no reputation or standing on the line. Silence endangers no pastor's livelihood. Silence in word and action does everything to protect self, but does nothing for the good of the brother. And this, my Christian friends, is a mockery of the love of the brethren one for another, that love with which we are to love as Christ has loved us. Real love is not the love of this world that looks at self and seeks to preserve self. Real love throws oneself in sacrifice for another. Love is what we see in Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, who so loved us that he became one with us. The love of Christ, which risks everything, which risks rejection, which risks pain, which risks the cross itself. The love of Christ, which rose victorious on Easter morning, showing this world and you and me and all people that the love of God is stronger than our sin and our sense of self-preservation. That Christ has truly loved us and has truly reached out and given himself for us. We can give lip service to that too. Or we can see our brothers and sisters in Christ through the love of the Savior. And it is to those who have been set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul writes. There's a fork at the road which we each face, where we must make a decision. Do we choose that easy-looking path and find at the end that cliff that we fall off of? Or do we take the difficult path, the path which ultimately leads to those scenes of beauty? Do we take the easy road or the difficult one? What's very much at stake here is the ability of the church to proclaim the gospel. A church which is decidedly indistinct from the world around her is a church which has very little to say to the world. A church which is unwilling to risk everything in reaching out to an erring brother is a church whose mouth is gagged when she wants to pronounce the words of absolution to that same erring brother. We stand on the eve of Reformation. The sanctuary is being prepared for that celebration. And we think and rejoice of God's great action in the church in the past. But God reminds us the church is a church which must always be reformed at every level of her being. And that reformation comes to the love of Christ, not just as model, but as what empowers us to be his people on earth, what empowers us with every breath in our bodies to proclaim him as Savior of the erring brother, to proclaim him as Savior of the body of Christ, and to proclaim him as Savior of this world. May we so discern this love given to us so abundantly in word and sacrament, this love which has embraced us from the moment of our baptism. May we so see that love that we reach to our brother, not protecting self, but giving self. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.